want you to be very engaged. We're going to have a discussion at the end of this panelist offering. So we want you to be engaged because this is a very serious and provocative topic. We're talking about surviving sexual abuse. And of course, this isn't something that just affects women. It also affects men. So we ask that you give your undivided attention to this effort. I want to call up the first panelist. real quick.
Before you call up the first panelist, mm-hmm. I'm going to do an overview.
Okay.
Before you call up the first panelist, I'm going to do an overview.
Yeah, okay. All right. Does anyone have only sign up sheet? Where exactly? Okay. Josh Tackey, who is one of our interns, also has a sign up sheet. If you have not signed up for a talk party before, or if your information has changed, please let us know so that we can let you know about other programs that we have coming up. Okay, before I introduce the first panelist, I'm going to call Nana Zappa Sachema to come up to talk about this particular part of the program.
adventuresfrom.com. Some of you know we were recently voted best overall blog in Ghana for 2012. So we're really excited about that. We're also best activist blog. Today's session is on a subject that is quite heavy and one that I think is very important for us to talk about. We're going to be reading, discussing, performing, and talking on the subject of surviving sexual abuse. I have 1, 2, 3, 4 amazing writer poets friends who have agreed to either share their own pieces or share contributions that have been posted on the Adventures From website. So each writer poet before they speak will let you know whether this is a piece they wrote themselves or this is a piece that they decided to pick from the blog. And if they decided to pick it from the blog, they'll tell you what was it about that piece that resonated with them. Each writer generally has about 10 minutes each to read. They may read one piece, they may read two pieces. And then after everybody has finished reading, so five readings in total, we'll have a discussion. I know many of you will have questions going through your minds, so I'd encourage you to just make a mental note of your questions, because right at the end we'll deal with all of the questions. I think it'll be just a little bit disjointed if we take time to answer questions in between. Unless, of course, like halfway through, we really feel like we need to change the pace. Is there anything else I'm supposed to be saying? At the end, we also have a therapist, Billy, please wave. Because this subject is deep, you know, it will trigger stuff for some of you individually. I will completely understand if somebody feels like I need to walk out of the room for 5 seconds, but I'll encourage you to actually sit and listen. Because I think sometimes even when subjects are heavy and difficult to deal with, it's important that we stay with it and go through the process. So Sian, I'm going to hand over back to you.
I don't know about you, but I'm really excited. We've been wanting to work with Adventures from the Bedrooms of African Women for a long time. We think that the work that they're doing is bold, it's innovative, and it's necessary. So we're very excited to have you here. First up, Samia Nkansa is a writer, poet, blogger, and social commentator who is still trying to scatter her words like pebbles and write her way back home. She is in the final stages of completing a novel and a book of short stories. Please let's welcome Samia.
I think I might chill out here.
Wait, use this mic.
Is that one? No, I'm good. everyone? Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, I have two pieces I'm going to read that were posted on the Adventures blog. Now, the things on the blog ran the gamut from very serious, some very funny, but it's supposed to be a space for Africans to talk about the things that they don't talk about in public, and African women particularly to talk about sex. Now, I'm very fascinated with this topic of sexual abuse and sexual survival and this notion of how people negotiate sex in Ghana or in Africa. And I don't think that you can talk about sexual abuse or sexual survival without talking about the different ways that men and women perceive things. So I have two pieces here, and the first piece was written by a guy and tells the tale of a sexual adventure that he had with a girl. And then the second piece are testimonials from some girls about their sexual adventures. And the point of it is really to stir you guys' interest in the comparison and the contrast between the two. And hopefully afterwards you can talk about it, and we can talk about some of the ways that guys perceive these things and the ways that women seem to perceive these things, and how that sort of seeps into all of sex or a lot of the sexual activity. So the first piece is by a guy called Anachimanda, and it's called Her First Time. And it's written by a Nigerian guy. The language is a little graphic, so bear with me, but it's an exciting story, and he's telling this story about this girl that he slept with and the first time it happened. So here we go. Anachimanda, Her First Time. I was hungry that afternoon, and the house was devoid of food. Save for the half bag of rice and the tin of oats, nothing was in the kitchen. Even if I were to decide to cook some rice, I might not be alive to see it through. We had recently moved to this new part of town, a relatively higher class vicinity than the one we moved from. Had we been at the former place, I wouldn't be so bothered. Food vendors selling cheap coconut rice and agege bread or even fried yams and akara abound, but not in this zone. The only place one could get food here are these bouquets where one would have to pay one's ass off for such small food. Alarm go die person for this kind place, so I murmured to myself. The alarm soon made me trace my way downstairs. I made it to the front of my compound. Then the figure of a girl standing at the front caught the corner of my eye. I glanced her way and flung a "Hello, dear," at her. Not minding whether she replied, I reached for the gate, stepped out, and looked out at both sides of the street, not exactly sure what I was looking for. Realizing this was an effort in futility, I came back inside and beckoned to the girl. "Ine, please, how do people get food here? I'm very hungry." She flashed her set of white teeth and a smile before telling me she didn't know herself, but if I didn't mind, she could prepare me some Indomie noodles. "With all pleasure," I told her. I got some packs of noodles from the kiosk in the opposite house, and she followed me into my flat. While she prepared the noodles, I asked her about herself. She was Cynthia. I always ask girls who gave me foreign names for their native name. She said hers was Adaugo. She was 18, and she had just finished secondary school and was waiting to get her admission into university. She saw the tin of oats on my shelf and begged to have some. "My parents don't like oats. They prefer custard. Only I like oats in my house," she confessed. "Me too," I lied, trying to find some common ground. Any common ground. I acted as the gentleman, making her the oats while she made me noodles, all the while staring at her plump nyas and wondering how she managed to be so endowed at 18. "How come I haven't seen you around?" I asked her. "I'm mostly indoors, though," she replied. "I don't even know what brought me out today." "Now God bring you out, too," I crooned. "I don't know how I could do this along with a TMA if you know before you." We ate our meals and talked some more. She had few friends around. I had marveled at her backside, and she laughed and said it was her ex-boyfriend who pressed it too much. "Do you have a girlfriend?" she asked. "No," I promptly replied. Another false common ground. "Why did you break up with your boyfriend?" I asked him. "He likes sex too much," she said. "Oh," I exclaimed. "Yes, so," she replied. asked her to hang out with me and my friends on Sunday, and she said she would try. I took her number and promised to call her. At the appointed time on Sunday, I dialed her number to remind her, but she didn't pick up. I sent her a text message. Her reply read, "Daddy at home, can't leave." I sent her another which read, "Tell him you're going for a church program." And a few minutes later, she came out, tying a church scarf around her head. We drank some beer, she showed us Smear of Ice, and we talked about a lot of rude things. We met up with my friends. She taunted most of them when they talked about sex. She said, "Ah, but if you see fuck now, you go see fuck." This enraged most of them. So they asked her to try them and see. She simply leered at them, hurting their pride even more. "Charlie, I like girls like this. They are all out there." At about 9, she started giving me signs and sending me messages about her dad getting suspicious if she wasn't home on time. I obliged her and took her home. She passed back, she asked me on our way when I told her that she was rude to the guy. I made up my mind then to screw this girl and screw her like the tease that she was. With such effrontery, she must be a champion fucker. The next day, she came visiting. She was bored out of her skin. She cooked some food. We ate and lay down to watch a movie. That was when I reached out and grabbed both her boobs. She jerked herself away at first, but I persisted, and she relaxed as I reached beneath her top and undid her bra. I squeezed her luscious boobs, then she moaned. I raised her blouse and sucked on a nipple which started to engorge in my mouth. I hitched her skirt up and grabbed fistfuls of her enormous ass and lifted her by them, landing her astride my groin. I sucked one nipple, squeezed the other with my hand, shoved her panties with my other hand, and reached for her hot pussy. She squirmed every time my finger tried to go past, and I noticed how tight it was. Pushing her down to her back, I yanked off her panties, even as she tried to make me stop. And I flung them in a corner. I quickly stripped off my shirt, and she covered her mouth and gasped at the sight of my thing. That was when I began to suspect that she might not be how I thought she was. But I couldn't be wasting my time over that now. So I lifted both her feet to her shoulders and massaged her a bit while reaching for a condom. She tried to wrest my hand from her pussy and I allowed her to win, only long enough to wear the condom. "Munachi, please, so please take it easy," she crooned, and grabbed my thing as I prepared to slam it into her. That's what most girls say to fool us into believing they are so good girls, I thought, as I removed her hands from my thing and pinned them above her head. Positioning it against her, I pushed it and she screamed. But my thing didn't enter beyond the tip. I tried again, harder this time, and she screamed again as sweat broke out over her body. "Ah, you be virgin?" I started, and she nodded yes. "Wonderful," I thought, as I got up here and removed the condom. I would give her the honor of deflowering her with my rothing, not a condom-clad one. I got some Vaseline and rubbed just enough to break through on my member. I intended to enjoy this tight virgin pussy to the fullest. Not even Vaseline would deprive me of that. I came to her and peeled off her skirt totally, pushing back her legs so that her knee touched my boobs, and her thing pouted at me. I wrapped my Vaseline dick around her vagina, transferring some there while systematically pushing in, little by little. She shrieked and pleaded with me to take it easy on her. "Munaichi, please, I beg. You know I love you. Please pity me now, eh? Don't hurt me, please. I thought you liked me like your sister. Remember how I used to cook for you? Please, have mercy now. Ewo, please so. Oh God, who asked me to come today?" I pushed in again, and my whole thing broke through. Something loosened, and some red liquid coated my dick. This enthused me even more, and I forced in half. This time she grabbed my head in an embrace. "Munaichi, look at me now. It's me, yo. It's your adalgo. It is me you are doing this thing to. I beg, please, easy now." I smiled a wicked smile and started rocking my hips slowly back and forth, each time going a little deeper. Damn, virgin pussy felt so damn good and so fucking tight. I could feel my cum building up. I ground deeper and deeper until she pushed my stomach with her hands, limiting my movement. The pleasure was heightening, and I wouldn't let her deprive me of maximum satisfaction, so I pushed her hands away, pushed her feet even further back than before so her bum was off the bed, and plunged all of my dick inside her. She grabbed the bed sheets to her mouth and bit it as I proceeded to slam at her, pushing her ass back into the bed with deep thrust.
her pussy was so tight and so sweet, I lost control. And after 2 minutes of maddening swift breath, I was raining my cum deep inside her womb. I kept pounding, minutes after I had drained myself in her, and only collapsed on her when the pounding didn't feel good anymore. She whimpered and shivered and lay on her side, backing me off when I got off her. Her ass jiggled with each movement. I don't know if it was the nyash that magneted me, or just the simple gentlemanliness of consoling a girl whose cherry I just popped. But I found myself pulling her by the waist and holding her in an embrace. Munaichi, can I ask you a question? She asked. Anything, baby. Do you love me? I looked at the ceiling. Do I love him? I don't know. But I do know that I have a very strong feeling for you. I lied again. I have a very strong feeling only for her sumptuous ass. I don't know if that's love. But I do know that what I feel is very strong. I knew girls always believe lies, so I knew she'd buy this. She turned to face me. Are you sure? As if it was proof of anything, I pulled her blouse over her head, stripping her totally naked. Hugged and kissed her for a few minutes. Then I delved for her boobs, smoking and sucking them as if the last drop of milk on earth was inside them. By now, my thing was at full mast, so I flipped her face down, placed double pillows under my stomach so that her bountiful nyash raised up to me, coated my dick with some more Vaseline and fucked her some more, riding her as she lay there, biting into a third pillow to keep from screaming as I liberated her pussy. So, that is her first time by Achimanda, who is a male contributor to the site. Now, the next piece is from a female contributor to the site called Ikuba, and it's called, can anyone guess what it's called? Any suggestions? Any whatsoever? The second time.
Okay, that's a good one.
Manche, what's your guess? Oh, bedtime story. Okay. The piece is called This Nonsense Must Stop. Yesterday, I confessed to my friends that till I met my boyfriend, all the guys I had dated had some kind of thoughtful sexual intercourse with me. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. The kind of sex where you don't want to do it, but he wants to. And so he pounds away and you come out with bruises and tears. I thought I was alone, but surprisingly, all my friends shared similar experiences. And that got me incensed. I'm pissed off that this is happening to so many girls in Ghana, Africa, and the world at large. This nonsense must stop. I have reproduced my friend's stories below. This is Ifia's story. Mr. O was the first boss I interned for while in university. He was 40 years old, married with 2 kids, and I was 20 years old. He would send me flirtatious texts, and I felt flattered because my boss had a crush on me. One day, after office hours, he asked me to come into his office. When I sat down, he started telling me how he'd been pursuing me for a long time, and he asked me to take my clothes off. I didn't want to, but he was insistent. He said, if you don't take it off, I will go. So I took it off, and he slept with me on the carpet. I wasn't a virgin, but he pecked me that day because he was rough, and I really didn't want sex. After that day, he slept with me whenever he wanted. I didn't protest. I was such a child. I didn't even demand anything except asking him to buy me ice cream and pizza. Stella's story. I lost my virginity to my friend's elder brother when I was in secondary school. I used to visit him in his university room, and he gave me a card and a teddy bear for Valentine's Day. Sometimes, I'd let him kiss and fondle me, and I was really in love with him, but I wasn't ready for sex. The day it happened, all his roommates left the room with some excuse as soon as I entered. Maybe he told them what was going to happen. He started kissing me, and that felt good. But then his hands moved into my panties and I felt uncomfortable. So I told him, oh, Bracky, I don't like that. I actually used to call him Bracky. He said, stop acting like a little girl, eh? What did you think coming into my room in that mini skirt was for? He eventually had sex with me and it was really painful. I cried when it was all over. But I dated him for a year after that because I loved him. A catchy story. When I was in law school in Lagos, I worked for a reputable law firm, and one of the partners kept asking me out, but I wasn't interested because he was married. We had a law firm party at Christmas and I drank too much and became unsteady. There was no way I could go home in that state. He must have noticed the state I was in because in a flash he signaled to me and said, "Nkechi, you can't go home like this now." And he made his secretary book a nearby hotel room for me and asked his driver to take me there. Almost as soon as I checked into the room, the doorknob turned and there was this man. He said, "Ah, now I've captured you, Nkechi." He had sex with me that night. I didn't want to have sex, but I was too drunk to push him off me. Dilemma story. My boyfriend in university broke my virginity forcefully. We had dated 1 year without sex, and maybe that pissed him off because he claimed all his friends were screwing their babes regularly. One day when I visited him at home during vacation, he held down my hands and started pulling off my clothes, kissing to keep me from protesting, and then he had sex with me. A year later, he married someone else. So I guess the question I'll leave you with, and what I want you guys to think about, and we can talk about during discussion time, is do you think any of these stories were rape? So I'll let the next person come on and then we'll talk about it later.
Do you think any of those stories were rape? Please keep that
in your mind.
Okay. Thank you, Samia.
Thank you for being on me. Up next we have Nana Mathwasan. She's a writer, a poet, and a social entrepreneur. She writes and works to celebrate the human spirit and to promote our bottomless capacity for change. She has worked in the media as a broadcast journalist and a newspaper editor. She has also served in the creative arts and publishing industry as a consultant, a programs executive, a publishing assistant, and a freelance writer. Nana currently manages the Verb Center, a resource and publication center based in Accra. Some of her writing and poetry has appeared in Reflections, an anthology, Summer in the Rain, anthology, Look Where You Have Come to Stay, anthology, Defiled Sacredness, anthology, and We Are One from One Place, anthology. Let's warmly welcome Nana Akhil.
I'm going to do two poems and then I will read a post from Adventures. The first poem I'll do was inspired by the post. And it's called 77 times 7. I have gotten into trouble reading this somewhere else, but let's see if I'll get in trouble here. Because some people think it's disrespectful, it's irreverent towards Christianity and God. But all I have to say about that is if you listen, it might also be a prayer. Oh, does it work? I won't say all of that again. Sorry. So I just read the poem. Jesus, when, Jesus can, Jesus I, Jesus be, Jesus a child, Jesus is, Jesus it, Jesus the Bethman, Jesus on my forehead, Jesus the nectar, Jesus that proves, Jesus fucking, Jesus flies, Jesus too, Jesus suck me, Jesus dry, Jesus you, Jesus asked, Jesus me, Jesus too, Jesus forgive, Jesus 77, Jesus times 7, Jesus so, Jesus now, Jesus that, Jesus my body, Jesus has been, Jesus abuse, Jesus and, Jesus my spirit, Jesus bruise, Jesus 77 times, 7 times, 7 times, 7 and 7. Jesus, what should I do?
Thank you, thank you. So I'm going to read the next poem and then I'll read the post from Adventures.
The next poem is titled, Don't You Tell or You Will Die. Pubic hair pink in my jaws, wild fingers set for God knows what in my tiny door. My mouth held spittle and wild milk. I hated tomorrow, he returned. My worn out hands from nocturnal lunges hit my scarlet coats in paper bags, then plastic bags, then the ocean. I was spanned for using the other hands for fufu, for not munching meat in my bowl and refusing to take milk, powdered, condensed, or fresh. Meat is skin, milk is dairy recap. Swallow it, drink it. I am a fated vegetarian, an ill-mannered little girl, berated for being repulsed by the men who stole my early days, for saying A, B, C to F, A, R, K, U in silence when they asked, how are you? I knew into ears of air, sleep well at night, as mama slumbers, roofed under her tired skin, and pa snores, coughing alcohol. My face leaned on a cold wall. I remember their ID in alphabet. A, B, C, to M, A, T, H, A, F, A, R, K, E, R, S. Thank you. So this is of a guest contributor, Koliko, and the title is, God Does Not Accept Wounds. Story of an abused child. I am shocked that even up till now, I can still write about abuse. Mine. I live in a country where everything is given to God. Whereas this may not be an entirely bad thing, I found God does not accept wounds of victims. We can leave perpetrators of abuse and violence in the hands of God. But those who suffer abuse need our hands too. The effect of abuse on a person is not something that goes away on its own. It has to be dealt with consciously, talking about it, crying about it, getting professional help, helps. Having family and friends tell you to give it to God, it is nothing, you've cried enough, doesn't help, at least not in my case. I was abused as a child by 7 different men, not 7 times, but as many times as the extra classes teacher wanted, as many times as please the driver who picked me up from school, as many times as our neighbor who borrowed our iron and sat in our hall to watch TV wanted. As many times as the man opposite our house called the children to his room to watch porn wanted. And then that one time, when I was too afraid to go home with the driver, so I hid in our school toilet, and when he left, I began to walk home. If only I knew that there was another man like him who would stop me on the way and ask me to buy him bananas and granite from the junction. I would have gone with the driver and let him insert his fingers the way he pleased in my 12-year-old vagina. But I was taught to be respectful, so I went and bought this man his bananas, and when I knocked on his boy's quarter door, he asked me to come in, and then he locked the door. If I knew that that old man who mended broken buckets wanted more than just water and food from our kitchen, I wouldn't have asked my mother to feed him, and she wouldn't have asked me to take him to our kitchen and give him water and leftover dinner. She wouldn't have asked me to stay with him to see if he would need anything else. My mother wouldn't have left us to rest in her bedroom. If only I knew. If I had told someone early enough and not waited till I was 18 and was clueless about how to talk about pain, and that I had grown, and pain that had grown older than me, if at 18 years I couldn't push away the guy who asked me to have dinner with him in his hotel room, if I couldn't scream at 18 years
but stop and beg like a little girl. How dare I blame anybody but myself? And if I had told you this before now, wouldn't you have said the same thing? That my boobs were irresistible? That my eyes were too attractive? That if I came to the hotel